on Annenberg Radio News.
I'm really praying that I can get into this low-income housing because I don't want to be in a shelter for the rest of my life.
The recession creates a new generation of homeless in South Los Angeles. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, March 5th. I'm Caitlin Finero. Proposition 8, the November ballot measure that banned marriage for same-sex couples, is on the main stage again. The California Supreme Court heard arguments on both sides of the issue today. The court is trying to determine whether or not the amendment is constitutional. It is also expected to decide if it will affect gay marriages that took place between June 2008, when gay marriage was legalized, and November 2008, when Prop 8 was voted in. The court has 90 days to make a decision. We'll have more on reactions from South Los Angeles residents later in the show. It appears that LA City voters have decided that Measure B isn't the solar energy plan for them. At a last count, the LA solar energy was losing by 1%. The proposal was touted by supporters as a means of introducing more green jobs to the city. Ron Kay, with No on Measure B, says that even though the plan failed, the conversation about solar power is continuing.
The interests who are involved, labor, the Chamber of Commerce, the community, the council, everybody's in a conversation. I would hope that we would, when it gets to the right point, you know, have a summit kind of meeting. The solar industry needs to be involved.
We were unable to reach supporters of Measure B, despite making about a dozen phone calls. Supporters appear to be holding out hope that the mail-in ballots will help them pull out a win. The Metro Authority has a new CEO. Arthur Leahy, the CEO of Orange County Transportation Authority, was tapped today for the position. Leahy will oversee projects funded by Measure R, the half-cent sales tax increase that goes into effect in July. The measure is expected to raise an estimated $40 billion over the next 30 years for new transportation projects. But construction isn't the only thing on Leahy's agenda.
There's some great chances for the MTA to do some great things for Los Angeles, to prepare for larger populations, to try to address congestion and air quality issues and the like. You know, I also look forward to working on issues like goods movement, because we have trucks and trains going through Southern California that affect air quality and people's ability to move around. That's something that we have to address.
Manuel Correa with the Bus Riders Union is optimistic about the new MTA leadership.
There's a real discussion about what will be the real plan under Measure R to improve the bus system. At this moment, MTA had written that plan to be very vague, and now we need a real concrete plan, and we hope that he plays an important role in that. And second is, obviously, MTA will have to confront the set of losses that are coming down from the state government, and we hope to engage with him to really protect the needs of bus riders.
The MTA is the third largest public transportation agency in the United States. Shots fired on West Jefferson Boulevard and Normandy Avenue early this morning left two men wounded. One victim was taken to a local hospital with critical injuries, and the other wounds were not life-threatening. A lieutenant with the Los Angeles Police Department's Southwest Station says the shooting is under investigation and may be gang-related. Temperatures are expected to stay low with 40s at night and low during the 60s during the day throughout the weekend. And it may not be spring yet, but don't forget to set clocks ahead on Saturday night. Break out the helmets and knee pads. Activists are trying to make Los Angeles a more welcoming place for bikers. Ariel Edwards-Levy reports.
Announced their plans for a summit this weekend to help turn LA into a haven for bicyclists. Ellie Blue of Bike Portland says that creating a biker-friendly culture is key.
There's a phenomenon called safety in numbers, which basically means the more people are out there riding, the safer it is. There's been a huge increase in the number of people on bikes on the street, and the number of crashes has stayed flat.
LA is known for its sprawling layout and car culture, but Robert Gottlieb of Occidental College says having bikers around would make the city healthier and more livable.
Bikes are really critical in creating a much stronger sense of place. being embedded in your community. They're also really crucial in terms of thinking about what does it mean to have a healthy lifestyle that's tied to a healthy community.
You don't have to be Lance Armstrong to care about bicycling. New York bike advocate Noah Budnick says that biking touches on topics from health concerns to economics and global warming.
The amazing thing about bicycling and community development is that one solution can touch on a lot of different issues. So there's a lot to learn, even if you're not a regular bike rider.
LA's first bike summit will feature workshops and panels. It will be held at Los Angeles Trade Tech College this Saturday. Ariel Edwards-Levy, Annenberg Radio News.
The foreclosure crisis and economic meltdown has put more strain on a neighborhood still struggling to reinvent itself. In South LA, the newly homeless are trying to find housing, but not all of them will succeed. Timothy Beckworth has the story.
64 and homeless for the first time. She got laid off in December after 15 years working as a nurse's assistant. But before she can get a new job, she needs a place to live. She never thought she'd be homeless. But she suddenly found herself sleeping on park benches.
I'm really praying that I can get into this low-income housing because I don't want to be in a shelter for the rest of my life. I have always worked. I raised my son. I've always had a place to stay. This has never happened to me.
To help people like Burdette, the Greater Los Angeles region received $73 million of federal homeless funding for the 2009-2010 fiscal year. These grants come from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. That's 1.3 million more than last year. But there are new problems to solve. For middle-class Americans, the recession and housing crisis started at the end of last year. But Tanya Toll, founder of the homeless service organization Beyond Shelter, says she has been dealing with the crisis even longer than that.
We've been seeing an increase over the past 18 months or so. Most recently, new homeless. Families that were in the middle class and are now sliding into homelessness. But the numbers have been increasing for many, many months. The only thing that's changed is that we've got more exposure of the problem and new interest in the problem because it's beginning to affect the middle class.
In 2007, low-rent apartment buildings bought by speculators with bad loans suddenly began going into foreclosure, affecting dozens of families at once. Not all residents could get their security deposits back, which kept them from finding a new place to live. The scarcity of low-income housing left many families with no place to go. Chandra Turnbow's children are too young to be in school, so she brings them from her shelter to apply for hotel vouchers at a Beyond Shelter neighborhood center at 78th and South Broadway.
I got laid off right before I had my baby. Right now, I'm in a shelter.
There, she shares a room with a mother of two, like herself. She's been looking for housing for over a year now. You can read the fatigue in her face as she sits and waits.
Not shelter. Why do you need shelter today? What's the earliest you can come? Come on. All right. Not shelter.
The demand for low-income housing is always going up, but the supply is always low. Tanya Toll of Beyond Shelter says there just aren't enough resources to solve the crisis.
If there's a new unit available for a mother with three kids in a shelter, 10 agencies might call for that space, but it was promised to one.
The new HUD funding contains grants for new housing, but it won't be enough to house all of LA's unsheltered families. Grants from the Department of Housing and Urban Development are typically matched with city, state, and private funds, but the new state budget already cut programs that help the homeless, like the Emergency Housing Assistance Program.
We got rid of the safety net, we took the ladder away, and people are falling into deep pits that they can't get out of.
Most families that get stuck in the shelter system never get out. Some new homeless make a difficult but quick return to normality. But countless others find that the slide into homelessness is a dead end. The economic crisis hit low-income families first, and the ones it pushed into homelessness will be the last to recover. Timothy Beckworth, Annenberg Radio News.
To see a list of shelters and organizations in South LA receiving money from the new grant, check out our website at www.annenbergradio.org. For more about what nonprofits are doing to help combat homelessness in LA, I spoke with Barbara Hill of Beyond Shelter. She says the increase in homelessness in South LA is putting a strain on local services.
But indeed, when you are looking at the social service agencies here in South Los Angeles, we are feeling and seeing an increase for the need of services for people who have fallen to crisis situations.
So what are some of the services that you can provide for people that have either recently lost their home or find themselves in a difficult situation?
We have a neighborhood resource center, and our goal is to link social services, various social services, to the people who are in need. So we, when people come to make a request from us, we assess their needs and link them to the appropriate resource that they need to attempt to solve their problem. For homelessness, we have to explore every possibility. Who has shelter vouchers? Who has shelter space available? If the person is eligible for public benefits that will give them a few nights of hotel lodging, any particular linkage and resource that we are aware of, that we explore further into, that's what we do.
Is it any more difficult now to find those solutions that so many, you know, organizations and nonprofits are finding themselves with smaller and smaller budgets?
Yes, very much so. You need manpower. You need lots of staff. You need lots of resources. We need foundation help, public help, government help all the time. But the bottom line is, when you're talking about homelessness and just linking people to homeless resources, there's more homeless people than there are resources, and that is just a fact.
Is that increasing, or do you see it becoming more of a problem?
I see it becoming more of a problem. We have coordinated in various agencies in South Los Angeles and across the county have had many organizations, the LA Coordinating Council, and different forums that are sponsored by different organizations, just to say, hey, we need more shelters. We have to develop more strategies and better strategies to address this issue. So we're always working on solutions. But right now, from the front line, there's a lot of people that need a lot of help.
So what sort of resources are available for somebody who feels like they may be approaching the point of homelessness or feel like they may be possibly losing their home?
We have neighborhood resource centers. Beyond Shelter has opened up a second one here at 51st and Broadway, as well as the one that's at 79th and Broadway, to try to address the needs of people in the community, whether it is rent to prevent dollars. There is funds available right now, in fact, until the end of the month, to help people that are behind in their rent, that we operate those programs. If they're behind in their rent 1 month, then they are able to apply for 1 month's arrears, and they can call our administrative office or they can call one of our neighborhood resource centers. Utility assistance we process. We're always trying to find services for homeless families, food referrals, apartment referrals, those type of things. But our Housing First program is our core, and we work closely with the community, and I think that it's important for everybody to know that.
Barbara Hill is the Director of Neighborhood Services for Beyond Shelter. And now we return to our coverage of Proposition 8. The November ballot measure to ban marriage for same-sex couples is back in court in San Francisco. The California Supreme Court is again hearing arguments challenging and supporting the initiative today. The arguments were also on view at Los Angeles City Hall. Adriana Venegas-Chavez reports.
Are you hopeful?
Yeah. Well, I think that I'm not going to stop being hopeful until I see something otherwise. So, yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you.
We're sorry about that. If you would like to hear the rest of that piece from Adriana Venegas-Chavez, you can hear it on our website at annenbergradio.org. The LAPD recently opened a new police station with a focus on breaking a language barrier to reduce crime. Esther Pomeroy has more.
The Mid-Wilshire district of Koreatown has the highest population density in all of Los Angeles. And florist Tracy Park says many of the residents don't speak English.
This Korean community is really big. Without speaking English, they could still survive.
They may be able to survive, but the language barrier makes it difficult for residents to communicate with police. Burglary is common in Koreatown, and many business owners, including Park, leave their doors locked during business hours. Instead, customers ring a doorbell to be admitted into the store. In January, the LAPD opened its Olympic division. Officer James Chung is a native Korean speaker who says his station is making a direct effort to reduce crime by hiring more Korean-speaking officers.
This is one of the historical that any captain has made that actively recruit a Korean-speaking officer for benefit of Korean community.
Eric Kim sells Korean and Japanese imports from his Koreatown store, Tokyo Fantasy. He has been in the neighborhood for 13 years and says having more Korean-speaking officers will help business owners feel safer.
Before, they didn't have much Korean, Korean translated available, you know?
The station currently has more than 30 officers who speak fluent Korean. Esther Pomeroy, Annenberg Radio News.
Police are looking at a hit-and-run driver who critically injured a 13-year-old boy in South Los Angeles. The boy was riding his bicycle on Sunday afternoon at 58th Place and Normandy Avenue when he was hit. The car is described as a gold Nissan SUV. The victim is in stable but serious condition. Now we check in with Skylar Kenny to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. What do you have for us tonight, Skylar?
Thanks, Kaylin. Today in California Supreme Court, they hear arguments about Prop 8, find out what both sides had to say, plus reaction from L.A. residents. And Chris Brown, we have the latest on him, find out what experts say about domestic violence. And in Mexico, thousands of college students head to Mexico for spring break. But is it safe? We'll have the latest on that story. And learn about a fascinating story about soldiers about to deploy to Iraq who have plans to broadcast the war. We'll bring you all the latest on that fascinating story. So all that and more on Annenberg TV News at 6 o'clock on Trojan Vision.
Thanks so much, Skylar. Los Angeles Central Library may be an oasis for book lovers, but it's not a place to put down your purse. According to the LAPD, thieves have been targeting the Central Library and making off with the wallets, laptops, and backpacks of readers. The library is the number one spot for thefts of personal property. The LAPD says the thieves are likely local drug users who sell the items to buy drugs. A favorite target of thieves? The rarely visited History Department. And if you missed any part of our show today, you can find it on annenbergradio.org. And that wraps it up for today. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Caitlin Fanaro.